seen a materials sorter before?
I don't think I have.
I'll show you. When they put their books in, it actually checks them in. Depending on if they're going to another library, they didn't get checked in for whatever reason, or they are ready to be shelved, they go in different bins.
That's Assistant Executive Director of Garfield County Libraries, Amy Shipley, talking about one of just two material sorters in the district, a belt-driven machine that looks like it could spit out an everlasting gobstopper if you were to press the on button.
So it regularly breaks down. The software is still running on XP computers, so we need to upgrade the computers, and then we need upgraded software, and the hardware itself breaks down. Like, we had to replace these belts, and they had to, like, special order them because they don't make belts exactly like that anymore. Mm-hmm. So just stuff like that, like, it's just done enough cycles, you know, and right. it needs an update.
This machine is located at the Rifle Branch, also the home of the Library District Central Staffing. Amy says at this location, there are only two computers in the staff work area, which at least four staff work out of. She says this kind of shortage is common throughout the district.
The setup is a little bit different, but every branch is severely reduced in the number of computers that they need to be able to do their job.
Last year, due to budget cuts, the library district also reduced the number of public access computers by about 15 total, or 2 to 3 per branch. But Amy says even though shortages are inconvenient for staff and patrons, building maintenance presents a potentially more pressing issue.
When these buildings were built, the economy was good, and we had the money to be able to maintain and keep these buildings beautiful. And it's really just with the downturn of the economy that we've had to make so many cuts that we no longer have the resources we need to be able to keep these buildings maintained. If a boiler went out, we'd be able to cover it. But if all 6 boilers went out, we'd be in trouble. You know, boilers are gonna break and you wanna replace them before they break so it's not below zero and you don't have heat.
At Parachute Branch Library, years of wear and tear are starting to show. Scrapes around the walls of the community room, where tables have been pulled in and out hundreds of times for meetings and classes, broken trim around the main entrance that's never been repaired, and cracks and holes in the front desk.
Wear and tear. Just wear and tear kinds of things that, you know, been able to fix. It's mostly those kinds of things. As, you know, a building is used. That's a good example of kind of what we see.
Kim Benson is the circulation manager at Parachute Library. She says that in addition to basic maintenance and building upkeep, expanding hours would benefit the patrons who commute to work every day.
A lot of our patrons who are working are commuting, so they need earlier hours and some quite late hours.
Kim also spoke about technology needs at the Parachute Library, including 3 staff members who share one computer and overdue software updates for the self-checkout system.
You know, patrons are able to come here, but not all items in the consortium will check out here because the technology needs updating. It's not keeping up with the tagging. With Rifle and us, we're the first buildings under construction and reopened. So some of our equipment is the oldest.
On November 5th, voters decide whether to approve an additional 1.5 mils of property tax. The increase would mean a permanent funding increase for the library district. If 6A passes, residential property owners will pay about $11 more per year for every $100,000 of residential property value. Commercial properties will pay about $43 for every $100,000 of property value. Right now, the library has an annual mill levy of 1.07, which brought in a little over $2 million this year. The new increase would almost double that for 2020.
I am Carolyn Jones, and I'm from Rifle. I read a lot of books on tape, and I get them from the library, and I like to read a lot of mysteries, so I do use the library. And even my daughter said, I just don't see you without a book in your hand.
So would you be supportive of...
Yeah, actually, I think I would be, yes.
Not everyone is sure that another increase on property tax is a good idea. Jay lives in a way that he describes as off the grid between Silt and Rifle, and says that maybe the libraries should downsize.
I think there's other ways of finding ways of doing what we need to get done without always having to go and gouge people for more money, especially on property tax here. You can't even afford a home here, most people. why are we going to continue raising taxes? It's crazy. When does it stop? Here's a new tax. Well, they're going to keep doing this on and on. It's going to be an ugly revolution of taxes. You know, I understand people love to use the facilities, stuff like that. I use them. But what more do we need? Can we downsize a little bit?
Others who spoke to KD&K about the proposed mill levy increase on November's ballot said they didn't want tax money to go towards more building expansions, but did support the revenue going towards more books. Both Amy Shipley and Kim Benson say increasing access to materials is a priority for the district.
If it's a popular title, your wait time could be weeks or months, just because we don't have enough copies to fill the demand. So that's primarily, that's the first thing we would do, is buy extra copies of those hot titles that people want so that we could fill that demand and really reduce those wait times down.
We have a fairly large senior population, so we want to be able to provide more large print items, larger range of new books so that they aren't always out on our reserve list, that we do have copies that are here for our browsable collection so people can just come in and find something that they want that day that's new.
Both of the library managers wanted the public to know that the proposed funding increase will get the library back to the level that it was prior to budget cuts in 2016 and 2017.
We're not trying to be extravagant or buy a Lamborghini. We're just trying to get back where we should be to be able to provide the library services that our community deserves.
I think it will help us get steady and stable funding streams to be able to keep us at the level we need to be at to provide classes and materials and technology to our patrons.
You can hear more about Glenwood Springs and Carbondale Libraries as part of this series by visiting us at kdnk.org. Tune in later this week for more on Newcastle and Silt Libraries. This is KD&K News. I'm Lucas Turner.